Day. And this morning is what we're calling sort of a vision message for this season or this year. And as you might know, it's quite common for a church, usually at the beginning of the calendar year or close to the AGM, to kind of do a state of the church address, so to speak, right, where you kind of review where you've been and where you are as a congregation and perhaps where you're going in the upcoming year or years as you do that. And we'll probably usually do that as well, but Hannah and I kind of felt like it was just the right time, being the fall and now that we've been here 5 months almost exactly, to sort of stop and assess a little bit of where we are and some things that have happened and just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to kind of unite our hearts more and more together as we continue to move forward as a church. And that's the title for this morning, quite simple, is just Moving Forward Together at Oceanside. And it's about moving forward in unity, in purpose, and love, and joy as we seek and discover together God's plans for our church and how we can better share the good news of Christ with our community and beyond. And of course, that is the main goal. And I specifically want to talk this morning through this short little parable, how moving forward together involves three things. And you can look at your outline to sort of follow in along. That moving forward together, number one, involves vision. It involves a purpose that unites. Number two, it involves sacrifice, so it involves a love that unites. And then thirdly, it involves celebration, a joy that unites. And so we're going to talk about these three things as essential for us as a church as we move forward together. So let's start with number one, that moving forward together requires vision, that there's a purpose that unites. The parable begins out, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. So immediately this parable tells us that the woman, who represents the passionate heart of Christ, she has a singular vision and purpose that drives her, that allows her to unite her energy and her passion and her resources for one thing, to find that lost coin, which of course represents a lost person in this parable. And so I want to talk about the importance of a church having a strong vision and purpose that unites us, and an identity that sort of holds us together. So like the women, we'd be willing to dedicate our time and our energy and our resources to that vision. Church scholar Nancy Ammerman says that the most critical element to a congregation's vitality, and vitality always refers to not just growth, but also just strength within a church body. She says that the most critical element is the extent to which that congregation has a strong sense of identity. The Faith Communities Today project, it was a massive survey of 14,000 different churches. It was the largest study ever conducted on congregations. That study found that congregations with a clear sense of purpose feel vital and alive, meaning they kind of know where they're going together. And every church, of course, has a similar generic calling, right? That we are called to fulfill the Great Commission, to love God, to love neighbor, to focus on sort of the three pillars of the church, which would be worship, edification, and mission, which just means kind of upward to God, inward, building up ourselves, and then outward to the community. And all churches should rally around those specific things. And if we're doing them well, then we'll be in pretty good shape. That's the most important stuff. But I think within that larger calling that churches share, each church has sort of a unique calling, a distinct kind of DNA within the congregation. And we should celebrate that, that every church doesn't look the same or feel the same, and every church doesn't do the same things in the community because there's lots of work to be done. And I think God just kind of calls different churches to different missions. And, you know, I believe that we at Oceanside have a unique calling, a special calling. And I know most of you, or all of you, believe that as well, which much of which I think is still to be discovered, which is part of the fun. But I think there are a few things at this point that we can sort of press into, that we can pray into, we can lean into as a part of our vision as a church and as a part of a purpose that really unites us. So what is at least a part of that vision? Let me just share kind of a few things, a few images that really drive some of our thinking about the church. And they're images and visions that have sort of lined up with what many of you have told us about this church. So I feel like the Lord's hand is kind of on it. Before we came to Oceanside, and in the first few weeks we were here, Hannah and I probably had more words from the Lord from people in that brief period of a couple months, honestly, than we've probably had in like our whole 8 years of marriage. And it was just really evident that the Lord was really up to something, right? That he wanted to really communicate a few things, that this was kind of a big moment in our lives. And so let me just kind of share a few. And I'll start with a couple we received from people in our church at Richmond before we left, as they blessed us and sent us out. When we announced that we were coming here to be voted on, which we told the church about, one man in the congregation came up that morning, and he had a word for us that was something like this. He saw sort of a tremor-like image or kind of an epicenter that was surrounding us. And it was on the island, and it was centered around Parksville, and there was something powerful was going to come from it, was kind of the basic gist. And the basic thrust that we got, I'm not going to repeat all the details, but the basic thrust that we got was that God was going to do something powerful through this church that had impact around the surrounding communities, but there was sort of a center that was taking place here at this church or in Parksville. A couple weeks later, as we were prayed for on our last Sunday then in Richmond after we had come here and went back, one woman there said that she sensed or saw or heard, kind of like, you know, just like Ezekiel, the vision, you can never know how to explain it, right? But sort of fire sort of coming forth as we were prayed for at our last Sunday. And she said that there was kind of fire coming forth that went outward, kind of around. And so it was kind of a similar type of vision. So the sense we got from both of these was this idea of the church being the center of a move of God that spread out kind of like wildfire or kind of like a tremor out from the church. Then we came to Oceanside, and a few words, visions from some of you gave similar pictures. Just one in particular to share. One was actually from Marna, Nelly and Ari's daughter. She's been here a couple times. And she shared this with us, that she saw four winds, kind of fresh winds, coming from every direction and representing different generations, and felt that we'd begin to draw from each direction and from different generations as a church. And others communicated sort of these similar ideas of this idea of different directions and sort of a center, so kind of both a coming in and a going out that was going on. So I share these words with you because I feel they kind of accurately line up with what I was told from all of you about sort of some of the things you feel about this church. And when we interviewed here and asked some of the search committee, you know, what do you kind of think about this church? And that they see this church as sort of a center for the community that draws from surrounding communities and makes a community-wide impact. And this is really a part of my daily prayers for this church, where I visualize and I just cry out to God, God, draw people from the north, the south, the east, and the west, rich and poor, young and old, all types, Lord. God, and draw them in so that we can then send them out to bless their community. And I just begin to pray into that vision every morning as I think about our church. I want to kind of draw your attention here for the first time. We haven't said anything about it. We just kind of started putting it out there. Maybe Dwayne can help put it on the screen to our church logo, new logo that we put out. And you may think that this was kind of designed haphazardly. And although practical concerns were discussed with the designer, right, it needs to be practical, easy to use, recognizable, that sort of thing. We actually discussed with the designer, a Christian, what we felt like the heartbeat of the church was. And if there was a way we could kind of incorporate this into the logo to represent that. And honestly, I just love what we came up with. What we wanted was something that sort of represented this sort of idea of movement going on and sort of a circular influence of the church. That I often kind of just envision this sort of circle around the church with Oceanside at the center and a movement to and from the church as people gather from our surrounding communities to encounter God. And then we send them out into the communities to carry out the work and mission of God. And I think it sort of also sort of represents our area. We wanted that. It's kind of up to interpretation, right? Is it a mountain in the middle? Is it an ocean wave? You know, you're kind of not sure, but of course we have both and we're surrounded by both. And it's sort of intentional in that way, just reflecting the landscape and the beauty of the area that we're called to serve. So I'll be honest, and maybe it's just me, but I'll be honest, it kind of gets me excited. Every time I look at it, it inspires my prayer because I see it and I just remember what I think God has called our church to do and to be. And I sort of pray into it and it symbolizes part of our identity and our calling. And so honestly, I really hope it will do the same for you, that it matters, that it takes on some meaning for you. I mean, I just think it's really no mistake that God gave us this location and that he gave us this piece of property to be on. I mean, if you draw a circle, and I've done this, if you draw a circle, or really it ends up being an oval because we're squished between the mountains and the water, but if you draw an oval and you start in Qualicum and you go through Hilliers and you come down to Coombs and you go through the center of Arrington and you go down to Nanoose Bay and then you come back through Parksville and through French Creek and back to Qualicum, do you know that we're almost in the exact center of that oval that you draw around those communities? So I think you see all the pieces, right, fitting together of that this lines up with what a lot of people have said about the church. And so all of you, or many of you, had the wisdom and forethought when we moved into this building in 2001 to say, we should probably rename our church to reflect this larger calling that we have. So it was renamed Oceanside Community Church to reflect the area. And I would say, well done. Good job. I think you were right on there 15 years ago. And I believe we should press into this vision without fear. I know fear creeps in, you know, but what if, or, you know, that sort of thing. And we get impatient and we don't always see everything right at once, right? But I think we should press in to this vision. We should pray, be praying into this vision together. And the vision is essential and the starting point for understanding what we're doing in the present. You may have heard the famous quote, but kind of how this works, how the future and the present are connected. If you want to build a ship, don't command people to gather wood, right? Don't divide the work and give orders, but instead teach them to yearn for the vast and endless sea. And then that will inspire passion to do the work when you have a vision of what you're doing or where you're going. Kind of just said another way or in a more contemporary way, Bill Hybels, just an author about church issues and growth, says that vision is a picture of something in the future that produces passion in the present. So that's what vision is really all about. Vision isn't about just kind of daydreaming about what God may do in the future, but it's a vision about the future that makes a direct impact now on what you do in the present and actually produces passion for that work in the present. So we don't just kind of sit around daydreaming, waiting for something to happen, right? But that vision produces action, passion in the present. And that's exactly what we see with the woman in the parable, right? She has a vision and a purpose of finding the lost coin, but then what does she do with that consuming vision of the one thing that she's after? It says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And so here I want to talk about the second thing that moving forward together toward that vision involves, and it involves sacrifice. And sacrifice comes out of love. And it's a love that unites. See, the woman has a vision and a purpose, but then she gets to work. by lighting a lamp, by sweeping the house and going after it. She doesn't just daydream about that lost coin and hope that it comes to pass. But then she kind of gets on with her work. In the first century especially, the original hearers would have totally understood the sacrifice that Jesus was talking about. Because think about it, there's no electricity. It's dark. That's why she has to light a lamp. It's a dirt floor that she's in. It's probably quite dirty. Could be even layers of dirt. That's why she has to sweep. She's got to get down on her hands and knees. She's got to sweep through the dirt. She's using the light. She's probably trying to carry the light with her or move it around as she sweeps, right? It's dirty, messy, inconvenient work that she's doing. But she's driven by that vision, that passion for that one coin. And if we want to fulfill the vision God has for us to reach the lost of our community, we have to be willing to get a little dirty, to get a little messy, right? We got to be willing to take on some inconvenience. This is a good time perhaps to correct any misunderstanding of what I've said so far, that when we talk about the future and our vision and what God has for our congregation, we're not saying that what is going on now in the present is not important, or that those who are here now are not important. If anything, we're actually saying the exact opposite, right? That because that vision cannot ever come to pass without all of us, without all of you, in the present, being passionate about the work God has called us to do. And if God is calling you to be at that church, at this church, and I hope that you feel that calling on your heart, then it's because he's calling you and he trusts you to be a part of this vision that he has for us as a congregation. And if anything, we actually need those existing in the congregation, and particularly even the older generation, to say, you know, yeah, we want to be about reaching the next generation, passing on the torch, leaving a legacy for others so that we can see that vision continue to grow as the years go on. And we're willing to do whatever it takes or whatever we can at this point to do so. You know, Hannah and I have talked about how we just honor and respect so much those of you who have stuck with it through the years, right? It's hard to stay at a church for a long period of time. It's always easier to leave, start over, be exciting somewhere and be new somewhere and all that kind of stuff, right? But you have a lot of respect and admiration for us. Those of you who have stayed, whether for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, we really honor that. We respect that because it shows maturity in your commitment, and it shows that you understand the way the kingdom of God works, that sometimes you just labor and labor and labor, and you have that vision kind of inspiring you. I mean, this church has a great history, right? It has awesome stories, but of course, we can't always look only back, and we can't be married to the past. We honor the past. We celebrate the past. We celebrate what God has done. But God always keeps moving forward because the story of redemption is one that's always moving forward. God's plan is always moving forward. And so we have to move with God forward in that way. And if we're going to move forward together with God, then we do have to be willing to sacrifice a little bit, to get a little dirty, so to speak, to inconvenience ourselves for something or someone greater than ourselves, which is why love is the motivation for the sacrifice. I want you to notice in the parable that in order to accomplish the vision that the woman has, she needs some tools, right? She's not left without anything. She's got her lamp, she's got her broom, and she's got to kind of know how to use them. And so when we got here at Oceanside, we started pressing into this vision that I think was confirmed in lots of different ways. It became apparent that if we're going to move forward in this vision, then we need some new tools, and as well as we need to just utilize some old tools that are there as well. So I want to just kind of review a couple of those new tools. I'm just kind of picking select ones, and I'll tell you why I picked those select ones. But just some new tools that will help us in this vision. In the past couple of weeks, we launched a brand new website. And I think that this was essential moving forward long term if we're going to continue to reach others, be able to communicate well, sort of have that front door in that world, the front door to our church. It's the first impression we make on most people. Because our cards that people fill out tell us that almost everybody visits it before they come to our church. And I think it'll help expand our reach in the long term. Then just recently, we launched a Facebook page. Well done, those of you on Facebook. We started out last week, just me and Hannah liking the page. Now we're up to, I think, 20 or so. So good job. Keep that going. But it's huge for reaching and connecting with new and particularly young people as well. And then the last thing is we've just kind of made our office operations more functional, both physically, just in the space, but also setting up new emails and hosting for them to increase our communication effectiveness as we move forward as a church. And these are some new tools that we needed to help us in reaching people, just a couple of many. We've also just done some old familiar tools like good old-fashioned sweeping and that sort of stuff, kind of like the woman, you know, getting out those old-fashioned tools and just kind of cleaning away the dirt, so to speak. And I have fun with it, you know, but I've kind of probably personally, I think, vacuumed and cleaned and wiped down the baseboards and stuff in almost every room in the church, mostly just because I want to familiarize myself with every kind of corner and square inch of the church, and that's sort of a good way to do it, and just needs done every once in a while, sort of just doing what needs to be done and getting around the building. And the list could go on of some of the things that we've been doing and things the deacons and us have discussed and planned. What's the point of why I'm telling you these things? I want to point out a couple things. First, I'm trying to relay a message, which is this. Even though we have a big vision, we have to start small. And these are small things. In other words, think big, start small. And honestly, I think this is really the wisdom of the kingdom. And this is the way God works, right? God wants to start a nation to bless the world. What does he do? He starts with one person, Abraham, who has no idea what's going on. God wants to communicate to the world for thousands of years his love to them. What does he do? He starts with a baby in a barn in one of the most insignificant places on earth. See, God thinks big, but then he starts small. And Hannah and I, in our thinking since we've been here, is really long-term is our thinking. And that long-term thinking vision has kind of allowed us to hopefully be as patient as we can and focus on some behind-the-scenes smaller things that just kind of have to be done in order long-term to continue to move forward. I mean, we could have come in here immediately and we could have just kind of had some really big events. And I think we could be launching all kinds of new ministries and doing some of those things. And some situations would call for that. But as we honestly prayed about it and we really kind of assessed where things were, we knew that at this point, I think we would be actually reproducing and trying to multiply something that didn't have the proper foundation and that would not be actually sustainable in the long term. And that's kind of how churches crash and burn, right? You kind of go up and then, but you don't have the proper kind of foundation that's built. And honestly, we're not really in a hurry in a way. Yes, we're thinking big, but we're starting small, laying the details of the foundation, sort of the individual bricks, so to speak, with the vision that one day it will be sort of a house that can manage the growth and multiplication that I do believe God is going to bring. So that's kind of the first reason I tell you those little stories about things that you might think, well, how important really is that stuff? That you think big, you start small. Secondly, these changes, for you know, me personally anyway, honestly haven't been that fun and haven't been that convenient. So let me kind of tell you why. Let me share a secret with you that you may or may not believe, but it's very, very true. I absolutely hate change. I mean, I hate change. I love routine. I love consistency. I love the same thing over and over and over again. I eat the same thing for lunch every day. I don't want to update anything. I don't like getting new anything. And Hannah's kind of the opposite, right? She's kind of pretty good at adapting and changing. And Hannah, as well as my mom, could testify to this. I mean, I'm just terrible at adjusting to new things. I mean, I kicked and screamed my way to kindergarten so hard that my mom gave up and held me back so that I was really, really old by the time I graduated high school. Because I wouldn't put up with it. True story, I was almost 20 when I graduated high school because of that. I wouldn't leave my routine. That's just a part of who I am. And so the reason I actually use these examples, just of the website and Facebook and the emails, is that honestly, these are the last things in the world I wanted to do. They really were. And I'll tell you why. I actually hate computers and technology. And I can tell you, I had, yeah, lots of amens out there. Wow. I had an awful, awful time working on this website. I mean, I did not enjoy it at all. I mean, just like the pictures and the graphics and the stuff. Writing the content was okay because I don't mind writing, but everything else was just, oh, this is the last thing I wanted to do. Like, can we please hire somebody to do this? You know, like I just did not want to do it. But it had to be done. Before we launched the Facebook page just 2 weeks ago, believe it or not, my Facebook account had been deactivated for over 2.5 years. I actually don't really like being on Facebook. I don't really enjoy it. But you know what? We realized, hey, if we're going to move forward as a church, this is where a lot of people start their search, actually on Facebook, not on web, to find a church or find a place or do something like that. And if we're going to connect with younger people as we move forward, so we knew it had to be there. So I reactivated my account. I went on there and along with Hannah set up this page because it had to be done. The email thing, last thing, I mean, I would have just loved nothing more than just to continue to use my personal email on my own provider that I knew. I've used it for decades. Hannah has begged me to switch because she thinks it's an old-fashioned provider that I use. And I said, but I know how to use it. You know, I don't want to switch. But for all kinds of reasons that aren't really necessary to explain, but I kind of just need you to trust me, that was in the best interest long-term of the church, actually, to set up a whole network of church emails under the ownership of the church to be kind of monitored and edited and stuff. And I had to learn how to use a brand new program. And I had to learn how to adjust to it. And I had to kind of set it up and be, the one to kind of oversee that creation. So, you know, change is inconvenient. It really is. And let me say this to you, that anything of significance is always an inconvenience. That's just the way life works. And sometimes that's just the way the kingdom works. But I'm not here to experience convenience. I'm here to get messy in the goal of reaching people for the kingdom of God. And of course, it would be easier to come in here, Hannah and I, and just kind of maintain what was happening, enjoy just living in one of the most beautiful places in the world, kind of focus on the short term, not worry about the long-term health, work, you know, the minimum amount of hours, just kind of sit back, enjoy life, that sort of thing, right? But that's not why we came here. And I know it's not why you brought us here, and I hope it's not why you're here either. That we want to get kind of dirty. We want to sacrifice our lives for the kingdom, particularly this local expression of the kingdom at Oceanside, to inconvenience ourselves for the sake of reaching others. Now, as we were deciding between two churches before we came to Oceanside, one of my mentors had a great piece of advice as we were discerning. And he said, choose the one that just gets your leadership heart beating, that kind of brings you alive with vision. And for us, that was really Oceanside, that it was just obvious that God was just working on our imagination and different things right away. And that was sort of confirmation. I mean, our heart, our desire is just to draw out every ounce of potential in this building, in this property, and most importantly, in the people that God brings through these doors. That is our hearts. That is what drives us. To see us and you being everything God ever intended us to be as a church and as individuals, that is our heart. And we're going to do whatever it takes to get there, no matter how insignificant or inconvenient it may seem. So if that means, you know, literally getting on my hands and knees with a flashlight, which I did, and a vacuum and some, you know, dusters and different things to clean out some storage spaces or whatever, then we'll do it. Because we see that long term, we know that we want to bring life and we want to be able to facilitate life to all kinds of different areas. And because of the vision of who we are and who we're going to be as a church and where we are going and love for the people, that's behind the small things that I think matter in the big picture, so that we can be a life-giving place, maximize all the potential that we have as a group of people and with the resources God has entrusted to us. And I think as we sacrifice ourselves out of a vision and love that drives us like the woman, you know, as we sacrifice our time, as we sacrifice our money, and I don't know about you, but I want to be financially invested in what's going on, that it's important to me to be able to be a part of what takes place and investing in that vision and bringing this vision, this building, this property, and this people to the fullness of everything God has, all the potential that it has. And, you know, you as a church already took a step of faith, hiring full-time pastors for the first time in 6 years, because I think you know that there's something here, that there's things to be tapped, there's potential going forward, and, you know, that you were willing to kind of put step out in faith, and you know the potential that is here. And honestly, speaking of sacrifice and time and money, I mean, we were so fortunate before that to have such highly gifted and wise people as Dave and Marilyn to be here in the meantime and sacrifice their time and their money to kind of hold it together so that things could kind of still be in place. And to me, that's a sign of God's grace on this church. That could have been maybe the end. I mean, I don't think God would have allowed it. He has a purpose. But that's just, to me, that's a part of a sign of his grace, that he cares, that he's moving us in a direction. And so we appreciate that and the Lord watching over us. But as we do these things, as we invest our time and our energy and our money, the Lord will continue to show us the next steps as we're ready for them. So the reason that I've learned in my life to embrace and adapt to change, even though I hate it, is because there's one change that should be our highest priority. And that's a changed life that encounters the grace of Jesus Christ. And it's that change that drives all change. All change for the sake of that change. And that's what drives us to be willing to inconvenience ourselves, to give people a changed life, a new life, a better life in Christ. And so, in some ways, Hannah and I, we sort of just want to invite you to come with us. And you're already there. Or more like sometimes you're inviting us to come with you or whatever. We're all inviting each other to go forward, to get messy. And there's going to be growing pains along the way. They're already there, right? There's been lots of awkward Sunday mornings already, right? And that's just going to be a part of it, right? Because we're going to try new things. We're going to fail a lot. And we can't fear for trying new things and failing. In fact, we're going to have to do it. And sometimes it's not going to work. And we're going to have to all say, that's okay. That's a part of moving forward. And remember what we're doing and sticking together and have a vision behind the sacrifices that we're making together. And as we do move forward together, it's important that we make sure, lastly, that we do the last part of moving forward together. The last key from this parable is moving forward in our vision together, which is celebration, the last point. It's a joy that unites. The woman finds the coin. She calls out to her friends and neighbors, and what does she say? She says, "Rejoice with me. I found my lost coin." In the same way, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And as we move forward, I think it's good and right to celebrate milestones, big and small, along the way, so that joy can unite our hearts and so that we don't lose heart. So I want to close by just kind of celebrating a few signs of life, even if small, that have happened here. So did you know that the month of August was actually our highest monthly attendance in over 2 years? So that's something to celebrate, something to get excited about. Sure, why not? As a part of that month, the second Sunday in August was actually, we had over 80 people here that morning, and it was the most since April 4th, 2010, Easter Sunday of April 2010. So you have to go all the way back to Easter Sunday, 5 years ago, to find that many people gathered in this building together on a Sunday morning. So that's at least worth celebrating a little bit. Right, that okay, there's some signs of what God is doing. And several times in that month, we had double digits in kids here. And I know some of those were tourists, but not all of them, because Hannah went and visited some of those families that are from the community, and so they're you know, real people from around here. So with that said, though, I will say at this point, I'm actually not that worried about the attendance, and we're not really paying too much attention to it and to the ups and downs of it, because I know right now we're laying the foundation, and we're more worried about strength than growth at this point. And, you know, Hannah kind of had the best analogy. She said, as we were kind of talking about this, because, I mean, it's kind of funny. It's really been all over the place since we've been here. And that's kind of just the signs of the growing pains. But Hannah said it's kind of like the stock market, right, particularly for young investors, that as it goes up and down, particularly if you're a young investor, right, you don't really care. I mean, it doesn't matter, right, if you lose ton and then you get, because your vision is actually decades down the road, right, if you're investing for your retirement, whatever. And you know long term, there's going to be growth. So you just keep pouring money into it each month, even as it's doing well and even as it's doing bad. It doesn't really faze you because you're investing in the long term. And that's kind of how I see things at the church, honestly, right now, is that it's not really going to faze me how we go, you know, like this, and then next week it's kind of like half that, and then it's kind of back up, and then there's all these kids, and then there's a few kids, and whatever, because we're just going to continue to pour in. We're just going to continue to invest. We're going to continue to do the things that need done. And I know that long term, the Lord's going to bless that. And the Lord's going to bring the multiplication when it's time and when we're ready and when the foundation is in place. But we can still celebrate the short-term accomplishments that happen along the way, even though the goals are long-term. Because I think, honestly, these are just signs of life. I think they're foretastes of the things that are to come. And so I do celebrate them, that God designed the church, the local church. He designed it to grow and multiply. So we should be seeing some of that here and there, right? Because the more we tap into being what God has called us to be, that's his desire. That's what happened to the first church. So some of that growth may be years down the road, but I'm excited. You know, that we're gathering together the materials. We're kind of planting the seeds. And I know that some point it's just going to burst forth in life. The suddenly of God, right? That word just all over Scripture. Suddenly, you know, that's just kind of the way the kingdom works. And we're just going to be faithful in pouring into and investing as time goes on. I mean, I can't wait to see what happens. It's going to be fun, right? And we're going to be patient, and we're going to just kind of keep, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so that's what's driving us. And I hope that it's driving you as well. I'm going to invite the band to come up, and they're going to calls us in sort of a song just to press into and celebrate what we've been talking about. But let me just kind of then summarize what we've said as well as what we've learned from the parable. So there's a vision. Even if it's not the full vision or not all the details, there's a vision with a purpose, and it unites us. Accomplishing that vision will involve sacrifice and deep love for others. Not just for each other, not just for ourselves and our own interests, but outside of that, for others. But as we inconvenience ourselves, as we get a little bit messy, we can celebrate the joys together along the way. And most importantly, the joy of seeing lives transformed, families transformed and changed through the power of Christ. That is ultimately what drives us. So just my invitation to you is, are you willing to just go forward, to get a little messy, inconvenience ourselves, but then enjoy all the moments along the way together and celebrate together so that, like the woman, as we reach the loss of our community, we can say, rejoice with me, rejoice with us, and join God as he rejoices with us and partners and participates with us in what's going on as we bring love and we bring hope to the Oceanside community. So we're excited to do that with you as we move forward. So let's close by singing and celebrating what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. So why don't you stand with me and then